TGIF, thank God it's Friday, and the rumors are true. Mercedes Moné is all elite. We're talking about the CEO and an awful lot more today on Women's Wrestling Talk.
What is popping, you beautiful humans? It's your girl, Ariane Andrew, and you are watching Women's Wrestling Talk.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.
TGIF, thank God it's Friday, and welcome to Women's Wrestling Talk, WWT Live. This is, of course, the number one women's show on the planet. I am your professor, Gerard Bonner, and we've got a jam-packed show. Of course, we're going to get into the big headlines from the last couple of days, but I don't have to do this by myself. You're going to get a double dose of this amazing host because she has got her whole SmackDown watch-along happening immediately following today's show. So you get a double dose of Wrestling with Honey. Honey, how are you?
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
I
smell it. I smell it. You smell it? I smell it.
I smell it.
I smell the season. I smell it. It's coming. Something's coming.
It is a thing for sure. How's your Friday been?
Friday's been good. The weather's been nice.
Okay, good.
Weather's been very nice. Sunny and everything. I'm loving it. Springtime it's springing. Spring is springing.
I love it. That is a good thing. It is. It had quite a bit of rain here in Atlanta today. It was warmer than normal, but it definitely did its good share of raining. It's rained most of the day. So hopefully that'll make for a really cool weekend. We will see. But all of the rumors are true, and there was no way we were going to get around this show without talking about what happened Wednesday night. When we ended our show on Wednesday, we kind of knew that one way or the other, this would be the talking point for Friday. And I guess once the folks tell us what they think, we'll be able to determine hit, miss, or what have you. But it is official, after months and months of conjecture and rumor, Mercedes Moné is officially all elite. Indeed, big business was all about her. From start to finish, she started the show right at 8:03, came through the tunnel. We got to look at her new music. We got to look at her new gear, the whole new chant of CEO, CEO. She talked to the people for a good 10 minutes to start the show. And then she ended the show. The first image, the last image, Mercedes Moné. So let's get into it right off the top. What are your thoughts on Mercedes' debut in AEW? How do you feel like it was handled? What are your thoughts? Before you do that. How did you feel watching this, seeing her come through the tunnel? What were your initial thoughts and feelings when that happened?
At first I was trying to understand what was happening because there was music playing, there was a graphic pulling up, and then all of a sudden that's when you saw Mercedes Moné and her name popped up. And so once I saw that and saw her come through that tunnel, it was really strange because I was just like, wow, there she is. There she is in all of her bossy glory. And rightfully so, you know, I think it's definitely the way you welcome and send off a hometown girl to begin and end the show. They were living for her. They were going crazy for her. CEO was chanted pretty much all freaking night. It's definitely the new chant going forward.
But
you know, the chant, you'll hear fans screaming, like just hanging out, waiting for the event to start. You'll just hear CEO. And I think that's where Tony Khan obviously banked because she is the must see. I gotta say, you know, being that, you know, we technically had her first, I was just like, oh. You know, but it was like being a proud auntie or a proud cousin, like, you know, like just watching her because, you know, she deserves every bit of flowers that she gets. I was kind of hoping that it would go into like kind of what we talked about, like her actually pulling that CEO card at first and then maybe mixing it up in the ring. But of course, you know, I'm sure she's been itching. So there's no way that she's going to miss an opportunity in the ring. As far as what happened towards the end and how it ended, I think it was what they did was probably the smart thing. They were capitalizing on what was going on in Japan and capitalizing on the rivalry between her and Willow. She looked phenomenal. She looked absolutely amazing. And I was just really happy for her. She just seemed genuinely, genuinely happy to be there and felt like she she's definitely making the big bucks, because according to some sources I've seen online, she's actually been on the payroll for the last 2 months and already been working with them. And you saw the commercials and all these things that are coming out now, and I'm like, this girl is on a roll. So obviously the AEW is doing did their part as far as initially and introducing how big they see her. So I really liked it for her, and I enjoyed it for her. It's still going to take me some getting used to, you know, with the whole CEO, because I'm used to the boss thing. But I'm happy for the girl nonetheless, and she deserves it.
Absolutely. I will say, and I put out a video about this, but I feel like if you really want to get an idea of how they view her, she got what I call the CM Punk treatment, where literally a whole show was named after her. It debuted in her home city. She got to start the show. And I will go so far to say this: on a show like Big Business that was as stacked as it was, a show that had the Elite, the return of Pac in ring, it had a world title match, it had Darby Allin's last match before he climbs Mount Everest against Jay White. It was a stacked show. Jericho and Hook teaming together against the Gates of Agony. Super stacked show. None of us going into that show would have picked Willow Nightingale versus Rio as the main event. That is not a slight to Willow or to Rio, but in that card, most of us would have figured the world title match would have been the last one or something like that. But I think it speaks to the power of Mercedes Moné that match becomes the main event. And it also becomes the place where we end up seeing her interject herself. So already, I would say Mercedes in AEW is paying big dividends for more than Mercedes. Consider, again, Willow versus Rio without a title connected to it as a main event on Dynamite. Probably would not happen. There's no probably. It would not happen without a Mercedes Moné debut. So congratulations to her and to everybody involved. Let's see what's going on in chat, because there's a lot of people here. Eddie says it's a great debut. MDB is here. His initial thought was, I can't wait until Mercedes beats Queen Aminata. Of course he would say that. Let's see. Boza says her presentation was what I expected. Music will take time to get used to as an AEW fan. I thought TK would have stuck her at the ending because fans may not care to watch the whole show, just her. Now, it's interesting. There were a lot of people that were wondering, should it be at the beginning? Should it be at the end? I think he did it the right way.
Yes.
I totally think he nailed this the right way to put her in the beginning and at the end. And I feel like because she debuted, you know, particularly in this AEW crowd, that they tend to be more connected to wrestling history than a casual crowd. So they were well aware of, you know, her last match being against Willow Nightingale. They were fully aware of all of that. So they knew Willow was going to be on the card, and she announced Willow as the main event. Then it's certainly a thing where they would wonder, okay, hold on. I'm actually on live right now. Okay. But bring me your tablet. Okay.
Aww, this is live professor. TV.
And so the cool thing is, because they were aware, they would stick around to see how she would interject herself and potentially connect with Willow Nightingale. They would check to see that. So
yeah, they were very smart to make base the whole show around her, which I really loved. I mean, if it, like you said, it, what I kept actually said that to say to myself watching it, and I was just like, you know what, this is the CM Punk treatment. It's in her hometown. The whole show was built around her. You saw her in the beginning. You saw her in the middle. You saw her in towards the end. You saw new commercials. You heard there's new. There's a red. I'm sure there's going to be a rollout of insane merchandise for this girl. So I would officially dub her the new needle mover of AEW, honestly. Because the way they rolled her out was just was absolutely the way you would roll out a Beyonce in your division. You know what I'm saying? Facts. And she definitely has worked up to this point, and which is why I think she was so happy, because it does feel good for her. It does look good for her too. So
and think about this. You know, one thing that I think every performer wants is every performer wants to be the name brand of wherever they are. You know, it's the treatment that Trinity got when she came to TNA. It's the treatment that Mercedes got when she went to New Japan. But I think what AEW did for her is on a completely different level than what New Japan did. New Japan brought her out during the middle of the during the end of the second match at Wrestle Kingdom. And then she never appeared at Wrestle Kingdom again. Obviously, you could say because of injury, et cetera, et cetera. But she never got that big of a rollout again, you know. So what she was able to get here. And here's the other thing that we should look at. You hinted at it earlier. You know, immediately, and I think people miss this. Immediately after her segment went off and they went to commercial and they went to promote future Dynamites, who was already in there but Mercedes? So they had already cut commercials with her. They've already rolled out a big interview with her and Renee Paquette. And then, of course, you have the placement of her Thursday night at the Boston Celtics game. And on TNT, they do an entire thing saying Mercedes Moné is now All Elite. You can check her out on Dynamite. Like, there was a lot of very intentional placement for Mercedes Moné, which I think the average eye may not realize what goes into that. But if you're involved in any sort of production, you know, okay, you don't just show up for the first time on TV and then end up in commercials and then end up in interviews. These things were already done. So shout out to AEW for not spilling the beans, for allowing there to be somewhat of a, that nobody caught this behind the scenes footage and leaked it, you know? So shout out to them. Let me hop back to some of these, comments in here. Jeffrey, good to see you. Matt, good to see you. Cousin Ron, good to see you. Boza says, my thing is TK will put her behind the paywall because he can't find anybody to beat Athena. He put Hikaru Shida behind the paywall as the 21st challenger. Well, so I disagree with that. I'll just say that. Because I think Mercedes, what they're going to do with her will likely, will obviously be bigger than Ring of Honor. No slight to Ring of Honor, but it's going to be bigger than Ring of Honor. I'm pretty sure of that. Jeffrey, she looked like a billion bucks. She really, really did. She looked great. She looked absolutely great. Mere days after Stephanie Vaquer defeated Julia for the Strong Women's Championship, the title Mercedes couldn't win due to injury. I don't know if whether that was, well, I'll say this. I don't think that Tony Khan had anything to do with New Japan's booking. And with Julia's contract ending, that probably had more to do with that than, you know, Mercedes entering. Let's see. I respect Mercedes more for fleecing Tony Khan and having an escape. Man, you just wake up like this. This is, wow. Jeffrey. Hopefully they use her properly. I think that's what everybody's hoping for when it comes for that. What about her contract? $10 million a year for 5 years with an option to leave after three. I hadn't seen anything on her contract yet, but if that is her contract, it's brilliant on her part, you know, to have an option out for 5 years and to have that option out at year three. That's a great move, I think. I was there for CM Punk's AEW debut. I was hugging strangers in the midst of the corona. Well, I can imagine, because it was something that we thought we'd never see. Almost 2 years to the date, women last main evented Dynamite. Thunder Rosa stepped into a steel cage to beat Britt Baker. That was a great match. And then, of course, we remember that street fight they had but probably a year or so before that. So that's cool.
That's so crazy. That was that long ago.
Yeah, it is. The only thing I'm mad at is that they have Sasha in the title, TBS title picture. Do they? If that's what you got from the ending of that, I'm not sure. I think that had much more to do with her being wherever Willow was.
Yeah. So she just had to get Julia and Homegirl out of the way because of they were just wrong place, wrong time. I don't think that's something. I think it's more so the ambition of Mercedes to right wrongs.
Right.
You know what I mean? So right the wrong that happened with her and Willow, because as intense as that rivalry was, why not pick it up from where we left off, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it was definitely a great, great time and a great debut, I think, for Mercedes Moné. I don't think you can ask for a better debut than what she got from AEW. So congratulations to her, because I definitely think that was a major, major move. Staying in AEW, an interesting interview came out because as part of Big Business, we saw Chris Jericho in a first time ever tag team match teaming with Hook, and they went against the Gates of Agony. And you know, a lot of people have had questions in terms of what Chris Jericho is doing, how he continues to work with these younger stars. But he says that he believes that he has been able to consistently help elevate AEW's younger talent. He had a recent appearance on Gabby AF where he feels as though he's been successful. He says he's pointed to stars like Orange Cassidy, Darby Allin, MJF, Powerhouse Hobbs, Takeshita, and Daniel Garcia as some of the people who he believes are bigger stars now than they were before they worked with him. Now, Jericho will be taking on Hook next week on Dynamite. I want to ask your question. Do you think that Chris Jericho has indeed elevated talent in AEW?
I absolutely do think so, because that's what Jericho always has done, no matter where he's gone. Anything that is involved with him, technically, I would consider it an elevation because of his repertoire and his history and his background and where he's come from. Like, he is it. He, pun intended, he is it. But he has also been able to develop not only for the wrestling side of it, but also what I really respect about it is that he's also been able to learn and absorb a lot of what he learned from the corporate side and backstage, and how to, you know, how to work with the crowd, and also how to it's just like a in and out of ring savvy that he holds that I always am impressed by with Jericho. I'm not sure if I get the whole thing where he just teamed up with Hook and then all of a sudden he just challenged him to his face. I mean, I guess maybe he's just trying to portray a different kind of character where he's being more upfront with people as opposed to doing the Jericho thing, what he's done in a lot of cases, like he'll team up with somebody and turn on them. So I kind of like this approach for Jericho. He's a veteran all in his own, and he is a GOAT considerably. But I wasn't quite sure about it at first with the teaming of him and Hook. So I was just like, I hope this doesn't last long, because I feel like it just doesn't work for me personally. But I'm with anything anything as far as in ring and AEW Jericho does, you know. But without Jericho, there really kind of is no AEW if you think about it.
No, that's true. That's absolutely true. I think he was necessary as the first champion for people who to connect with a brand new company that people would absolutely know. So I think he was very, very necessary for that. Some interesting thoughts in the chat. So let's see. MDB says, who is Jericho put over in AEW? Maybe Sammy Guevara? I'm not sure, but I'm not sure what you mean by that, because that entire list that he mentioned are people who have wins over Jericho in AEW. So
yeah,
that's interesting. Boza says he's elevating the stars of tomorrow and he's doing it while he's a Lionheart. For sure. Jericho needs to go away. He's not helping anymore. That's an interesting thought. Jericho is more of a detriment to the product than anything now. I would almost ask for you to explain how you think he's more of a detriment to the product than anything now. I think Jericho still has strong star power and strong name value, and beating Chris Jericho still holds a lot in terms of what it does for your resume. Now, what you do with that is a completely different story. You know, I would dare say that, you know, I can't blame a loss to Jericho for why some of those stars are not bigger stars right now. You know, I think if Jericho chooses to put you over, you have to do something with that. So there's that. Let's see. Special Little Nobody says, if he was to make Hook and Daniel Garcia bigger, he needs to get them some baked potatoes and a weight set. Ah, that's quite creative, Special Little Nobodies. Jeffrey says, him and Hook as a team is so random. I do agree. That is a very random team.
That's exactly why I was like, it's random. It's not really hitting me. I don't know if they were aiming to go there, but I'm kind of glad that they're straying away from that and they're facing each other instead now. So.
For sure. I wonder if people think Jericho is hurting the company because of the allegations that impact his match at World's End. It's interesting. You know, the dangerous thing when it comes to, again, allegations is, you know, if there's nothing ever proven with them, you know, it can be dangerous, which is all the more reason why it's dangerous to bring up allegations about people if there isn't any concrete proof. Because, you know, you could be doing more harm than good unnecessarily. Let's see. Andrew, welcome. He says Mercedes should go after Toni Storm and have a feud and a complete storyline with her. I think if that should happen, just give it some time. That's my whole thing. Give it some time. I'm not a fan of people coming into the company and going straight for the title because it's not good either way. If they lose, where do they go? If they win, what have you just said about your entire division? If someone who's can come from outside of the division and beat them within 3 months. So there's that. One other big piece of news coming out of AEW, which we're going to have some conversation about this. Swerve Strickland, not only one of the most popular wrestlers in AEW, but he is a legit rapper and artist. And he will be in LA this weekend performing as part of one of the biggest rap festivals of the year. It's Rolling Loud LA. And this particular festival will feature Nicki Minaj, Post Malone, and many others. And he will be a part of that. He released his latest project in 2023. It's titled You Couldn't Be Me. And he'll be performing alongside DJ 5 Venoms. And I think this is a really big moment for AEW, who have made more emphasis over time about what they do in the ring, but they're starting to realize the need for their stars to be in mainstream spaces. For Swerve to be at Rolling Loud, I think is a very big deal. What are your thoughts on Swerve being a part of Rolling Loud and what this could do for the image of AEW?
Swerve, honestly, since he's arrived at AEW, has never really ceased to amaze me with the things that he can do and what he's capable of and the reach he actually has on the culture as well. Being able to perform at Rolling Loud, one of the biggest hip hop festivals ever, he's in great company. And I think it says a lot about him as a multi-talent. I think it's definitely great connections. I think it's also it's just another opening just to keep the culture relevant with, you know, the wrestling culture with pop culture or hip hop culture and mainstream culture. You know, Post Malone and Nicki Minaj, like those names alone. You know, yeah. Being able to be in good company like that, and also being able to kind of play the ropes. You know, doing. Kind of double duty here, you know, like and from what I remember, even when he was with WWE, he produced his songs and all his videos and his things. He was very heavy into the rap stuff and I really like it for him. I think it's definitely inspirational and it's kind of like, you know, like when the like not really like when if a politician is going into acting, but it's kind of got that kind of vibe to it, like where like Dwayne Johnson, wrestler turned actor, like, you know, this could be Swerve, the wrestler turned, you know, rap artist or global rap artist and musician and things like that, so, or producer even. So I think this opens a lot of doors for him, and it opens a lot of eyes and brings just more eyes to AEW if there haven't been any from the culture, but I'm sure there has been. But I mean, congrats to Swerve, and I think that's just great for him.
Absolutely fantastic. And joining us from an undisclosed location, Sed is with us. He is driving somewhere. How are you, sir?
I am. This is actually on cue because I am swerving while I drive. So,
oh gosh,
I will be safe. I'll be Please. Safe. But quick thoughts. Doug, the debut of Mercedes, for those who predicted that she would come out first, they did it right, similar to the way they did with CM Punk. I love the combating thoughts about the Jericho things. I think a lot of it, to me, at least the Jericho fatigue, is that he's never really had a break. Is that fair to say? Like, he's always involved in some type of storyline. And I think his star power can't be underestimated, but also his star power, I think it meant more to AEW in the beginning stages at Daly's Place to get them off the ground than what it does now. And I think that's where the Jericho fatigue comes from, because it's kind of like, and maybe it's from an in-ring standpoint, giving him grace because he is an older performer, but it's kind of like those last couple Undertaker WrestleMania matches that we get consistently. And even if it's benefiting the younger talent, and I agree, Professor, that it matters what they do with the rub that he gives them. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's not, I feel like we don't remember those matches. And maybe it's just because Jericho is far past his prime and it's not his fault. As for Swerve, I actually have a friend that's at Rolling Loud this week, the 4-day festival, and that's really cool. That's another thing I feel like AEW can really benefit from. A lot of their stars that are hardcore, like AEW purists, wrestlers, they don't really have that crossover appeal.
Right.
And this is what they need. They need superstars like Mercedes and Swerve and others to have that crossover appeal where you can maybe be on a late night show getting interviewed. That's the one thing that's missing from AEW, and they're freaking branded by Turner, one of the biggest media companies in the nation. So you got to have those things. I know at the Celtics game the other day, they actually showed Mercedes sitting courtside.
That's right.
Saying, hey, Mercedes Moné is all elite. More of those things will get you outside of your hardcore fan base, which I think they desperately want to do more of. So this is a good look for Swerve.
A huge look for Swerve. Some of the others that are involved at Rolling Loud this weekend, I mean, like, it's a massive, massive festival. You've got Future, Summer Walker, Big Sean, Chief Keef, Bryson Tiller. Like, this lineup is Sexy Red, Party Next Door, Tigga. I mean, like, it's kind of nuts. This lineup is really, really crazy.
I have to ask.
Yes.
I have to ask. Sed, are you driving to Parkerville or Vice City?
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's fair. That's fair. You know, I will probably cut a very interesting promo here on my 1-year anniversary of being at WWT.
Today. That'd
be no, not today. Not today. We're about a month away.
Okay.
But
close.
I think I'm going to add the Dolanverse as a place that I'll be going more often. But no, neither of those destinations right now. But I will note that it's already being promoted that Miss Vice is going to be on Level Up again. So I will be tuning in. But I'm waiting for her to be back on Tuesday nights consistently and in the ring. So me and Higginbottom, we cool for now.
City.
We cool for now. But
so Dolanverse, huh?
Dolanverse.
Sed's going to need a passport to kind of stamp all of these places where he's a resident right now, because I don't know where his driver's license is. It's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy. Wow. But I will say this before we move from the Swerve piece, which I think is so interesting. If you'll remember, the Wrestling and Rolling Loud connection started a couple of years ago when WWE actually set up a ring at Rolling Loud Miami, and had Bianca Belair taking on Carmella in defense of her women's championship. And as good of a graphic, as good as that looked visually, you could tell they weren't fully into it, you know, as opposed to this scenario. So I think AEW has some real opportunities to make some strong connections with this Swerve move. So congratulations to Swerve being a part of Rolling Loud, and I'm sure the footage is going to look amazing.
Swerve, if you don't do your theme song, I'm going to be upset.
Oh, he's got to
see
that.
Everybody doing it.
Hey, he's got to do that. There are so many comments over here. We'll get to some more of those. But switching over to WWE and NXT, it was officially announced that after, again, lots of rumors, and we just kind of saw this coming, it's official. Trick Williams will be taking on Carmelo Hayes at Stand and Deliver. And so my initial question is, do you think this match main events this PLE?
It just might. I don't want to say yes or no. I definitely think it's capable, because a match like this, you don't need a belt, honestly. A match like this, we've had this situation before. Johnny and Ciampa, we've had Bailey and Sasha, we have Becky and Charlotte, we've had Sean and Hunter. If it mains event, kudos to them, and that'll be a big moment for them too, for a big weekend. But I would like to see a main event, but I wouldn't mind if it doesn't. But I think it has capabilities, strong capabilities. It's definitely going to be the must watch of the night.
Said, do you think this main event or no?
It's the biggest storyline, so it definitely has credibility to. And if it does main event, that will tell me a lot of things about Melo's trajectory. It will tell me that this could be his swan song. And it can be a lot of positives for Trick being kind of the face of the brand as you go into the rest of the year, ushering in the new CW era. And I'll go ahead and call it now. If Melo loses at Stand and Deliver, I have him debuting the next night on Monday Night Raw, because we know Braun is on SmackDown. I think Melo goes to Raw, and I have him challenging for the world title his first night, whomever's the champion. That first night, I think he will.
Melo.
So, I'm saying it'll be Damian Priest, but I think that'll happen. But
wow.
And I didn't finish NXT on Wednesday to know this, but now I saw the clip of D'Angelo and Ilya, which is a very interesting wrinkle that they threw him in the trunk and pretty much made him walk home. So I don't know what type of layers we'll get from the Ilya character here, but I thought that was cool. But with only, what, 3 more weeks, I don't know if that storyline can overtake this one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think it should. And honestly, I would almost be happy if this was a cinematic match, too. Maybe they had a way where they fought at the barbershop, kind of like how Ciampa and Gargano met at that remote ring. Mm-hmm. They should do something like that just to play it up a little more.
Interesting. Hmm. Interesting. Well, let's see, because there are some comments on this one, and they're calling him Riz Williams, which I think is hilarious. So there are lots of ideas. MDB says that this should be an unsanctioned main event. Jeffrey says, I can see it being main event worthy. Boza says, I can see this main eventing. Not sure if many people buy Tony D beating Ilya Dragunov. This should get a stipulation. Maybe Hell in a Cell. It's that personal. I could see that. There's an idea here for a Philly street fight. That would be interesting. No matter where this is put, this is Melo's swan song. Trick stays to help the brand transition to CW. I'm with that. Melo is already a SmackDown superstar, said. Well, he's not signed a SmackDown contract, so no, he's not.
He's only appeared.
Special Little Nobody says, I have a good feeling Trick is going to be a major player on that main roster. Of course, Melo's going to do well, but who would have thought Trick would rise like this? I don't think anybody saw this time last year Trick Williams being that guy, but he certainly is. As long as Lash gives Trick a good luck kiss before the match. Now, Jeffrey, you matter of fact, for you, you get this. Yes, that's a full applause because we're all still spinning from that Lash Trick kiss from both sides of the coin. So, yeah,
she's spinning. I know that.
Listen,
and I'm actually really excited for that match. I'm excited for Dar and Trick because we get to heat Noam Dar back up. A lot of people don't know that Noam Dar is brilliant in that ring. So that should be a really good match.
Absolutely. Special Little Nobody says that was the best wrestling kiss since Macho Man and Liz at the wedding. I will agree with you because I can't think of another kiss where I was just stuck. Like we were stuck on this kiss. It's pretty crazy. So I'm trying to think who could do that. Let's see. Boza agrees.
Trish and The Rock?
Trish and The Rock. I don't know. I have to go back and
see. It was random.
We kind of touched on this other day, but Otis Mandy.
Otis Mandy.
You think that finally happened at WrestleMania?
I still think that Trish Lash kiss was better, though.
Trick.
Now, this is interesting. Trish and Christian. Boy, you're taking us back on that one, Jeffrey. Wow.
Oh, wow. That's right.
That was something. That was something. And then he talked about her real bad. That was crazy. So Trick and Mello.
Dexter and Indy.
That's a good one.
Big fan of Index.
Yeah, that's a very good one.
That wedding too.
yeah. And you have the Index shirt on right now, don't you?
I do. How about that? Have the Index shirt. Good friend Mark from California bought me this number.
Very nice. All right. So let's talk about some of the other news, some of the biggest news that hit just a couple of hours ago that has had a lot of the IWC spinning. So we need to get into it because as you guys see this graphic, it's going to probably require some explanation. So here we go. As you know, during WrestleMania week, there are a number of events that happen, one of those being Josh Barnett's Bloodsport. This is now the 10th presentation of Bloodsport. And normally with Bloodsport, you know, we see it's a GCW, it's part of the GCW collective. We've seen stars from New Japan. We've seen stars from AEW, but we've not seen what we're about to see this time, as it's been announced that Shayna Baszler will be a part of Josh Barnett's Bloodsport. On top of that, we have heard that there has been an agreement made between WWE and Bloodsport that will send multiple WWE stars over to Bloodsport. We don't know who the other ones are as of yet, but this is the first time, I think, ever that a WWE contracted star during WrestleMania weekend ends up in another ring that is not related to WWE. And to think this will be on pay-per-view for GCW. So I got to get your thoughts. What are you thinking about Shayna Baszler being a part of Bloodsport? And who else from WWE do you think possibly would be a part of this event?
I'm going to have to think on that. Seth, you go first.
Other superstars being a part of it, I got to think about people that are kind of embody that style or like true grapplers. I think we just saw Dempsey recently do that thing. But this is so cool to me because, one, it's more exposure for WWE superstars that maybe feel kind of lost or forgotten. I know there's a large contingent of fans that have been wanting Shayna to get heated back up. So this style of wrestling at GCW, perfect place.
Yeah.
Perfect place. And it opens the door to so much more because we just talked about, I think earlier this week, about the partnerships with AEW and New Japan kind of being one-sided. Right. If WWE opens its doors to all these other companies, what could that mean? Mm-hmm. As far as like maybe those partnerships on the other side of the road ending because they're saying like, hey, we get mutual benefit because the biggest company in the world is allowing us to use their stars. Like that's insane to think. But like... Could you imagine Shayna Baszler's one in a woman's side, men's side? What if they sent we just talked about Apollo Crews. There's countless NXT superstars, or maybe if like a Gable could go, if they really push this Sammy and Gunther thing through all the way to WrestleMania. The options are endless, and the fact that they're willing to even, let's say, just crack the door a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's mind should be spiraling of the possibilities here. Because before a year ago, 2 years ago, this would have never been a thought.
Never.
Never.
Not ever.
I think I had mentioned this before the other day, but I was just like, I like how they're, you know, things are starting to push these companies to think outside the box. And AEW is doing that. And WWE has known to have their moments outside the box. And this one, I feel like this is like a, it's like they just turned the doorknob open and peeked in a little bit. And they're like, what's going on here? What can we do here? And then bring Shayna Baszler into it. This is automatically something that's going to want to make people watch the Queen of Spades come back, because this is who we've been waiting for a while now. Cause all they're doing is just like, I feel like even some of the superstars that they just dip throw in tag teams or even like, you know, forgotten about names, like, I don't know, Nikki Cross even, or even names that we already know and have seen. Maybe Lola Vice could show up in there too, because grappling and MMA and all of that, you know, that things could get pretty nasty in here and pretty crazy, you know? So I love this for WWE. I really want them to be a little bit more experimental, because also with me being a lifelong fan of WWE for so long, I could get my eyes onto other things that I haven't probably seen before. So as a viewer, I think this is a very smart move. And I'm sure it's because they're also seeing that, you know, the other side is dabbling and thinking outside the box. We got back to the drawing board. What are we doing? You know, so I really like this. I like this a lot. Makes it very interesting.
I will tell you why I think this is so interesting, because, you know, it's been going on for several years now, where so many other wrestling companies will decide to put on an event on the back of a larger event. You know, we haven't seen it as much in AEW, though. You know, for instance, I know at Revolution just this past weekend, a couple of promotions who operate in that area put on a show or two, because they knew wrestling fans would be there to kind of take advantage of the fans that were coming. WrestleMania week has turned into a massive display for pro wrestling, where virtually every wrestling company finds a way to take advantage of all of the fans that are there. Now, AEW has been specific in saying we're not going to do a specific event, though they're continuing their Ring of Honor Super Card of Honor, which is interesting in and of itself. But WWE historically has never acknowledged these events. They have never acknowledged these events. So for them to send a contracted superstar to another event is insane. It's incredible. I don't know. I'm doing my best to help articulate how significant this is, because this is WWE's flagship event. You know, it's kind of like, it's like, for instance, you know, the Super Bowl happens. Lots of people put ancillary events connected to that, but they're not NFL sanctioned. And so because they're not NFL sanctioned, you're not going to get any NFL participation, any NFL buy-in, any of the NFL juice. This Bloodsport situation with Shayna Baszler being a part, you can automatically imagine at some point somebody in WWE is going to say something publicly about it, which ends up being a win for everybody involved. And you've got to wonder now who else could show up somewhere else at some of these other places. So the possibilities become endless. And remember, she's not competing per se against fellow WWE stars. So it's not just her showing up. She's going to compete. There will be AEW stars there. There will be GCW stars there, and whoever else may show up. So the possibilities here are really endless. And I think when you start talking about that forbidden door, this by far becomes a more significant forbidden door, as the forbidden door in New Japan, or excuse me, in AEW, only seemed to have swung in the direction of New Japan and now a little bit in the direction of CMLL, but nothing like this during their signature weekend. Like this is massive. So
I think Masha Slamovich already said she wanted dibs on Shayna too on Twitter. So
if you get Slamovich, really. which it's funny you say that. Slamovich is a TNA star. We know the connection now between TNA and WWE being Endeavor. I think they could go for something like Slamovich versus Baszler. Good Lord. Lord. Oh, my gosh. All right. So we're talking about some of the people who could show up at Bloodsport. Let's see what the people are saying. Boza says Karrion Kross. That's an interesting idea.
That would be a fun name.
MDB says Dijak. That'd be fun. Special Little Nobody says the No Quarter Catch crew. That would be interesting. Cindy, good to see you. Didn't Christian return to TNA for a night in return for Ric Flair at the Hall of Fame? Yes, that did happen a few years ago. Eric says Zoe Stark. That would be a good one.
I would even say Pete Dunne.
Yeah, that's a good one. That would cook. Yeah. Oh, my Lord. This is
stupid.
Awesome. Plus, if Shayna was still in the Indies, she would so put this on her schedule for Mania Week. She certainly would.
Oh, for sure.
The WWE Forbidden Door has been opened. Yes, it has. Sean Spears has been mentioned. That'd be an interesting one. Boza says this is just one of 11 shows that GCW puts on during Mania Week. Yep, that's part of the collective. My head is spinning thinking if they allow stars to do all 11 or multiple shows. As far as I know, it's just for Bloodsport that they've made this agreement with. But if there are other shows, that could get very interesting that they might choose to be a part of. Let's see. And people are definitely agreeing that Lola would be a win for this. Yeah, Shayna versus Masha Slamovich, sign me up. Let's see. Professor, do you think they will also send or lend technical or production staff to help out when they lend talent to this organization to help out? I don't know.
That's a good question, though.
It is a very good question. I guess it would depend on if said parties would be receptive to that. You know, because some of these folks have in their mind how things are going to work and how they're going to run it. They may or may not be receptive. Though in my mind, I would think if somebody from WWE's production is coming in to help me, I would absolutely be all over it. But, you know, some people don't think like that. So that'll be interesting. Yeah, everybody's here for Masha versus Shayna. Moxley versus Cross. Wow, that could be interesting.
Oh my
God. You know what? Maybe that's why Dijak tweeted that out, actually.
What did he tweet?
I think somebody put a picture up and it was a different language, but he was like, it was a picture of him next to Moxley. And he was like, oh, am I fighting Mox on like Raw Underground? Or like he just put that out there. So maybe you're kind of speaking that into existence. I would love to see that, actually.
Let me tell you, if WWE is deciding to cook this up, I am all the way here for it. And everybody wins. Everybody wins.
Everybody, literally.
Eddie says, who do you think AEW is sending to Bloodsport? Moxley's the first person that comes to mind.
For sure, Moxley.
He has done Bloodsport before. That's his cup of tea.
I think Moxley goes Hook.
Oh, hook. Yeah, that could work. That could work.
Or even Pac.
I know it wouldn't happen, but what if you got a surprise with like Mox versus Seth? Like it won't happen. How cool would that be?
Seth is struggling to I shouldn't say struggling. That's not fair. Not fair to say. Seth has two WrestleMania matches on his plate. They are not gonna test the waters with him out of all places, Bloodsport. Oh, this is a good choice. Claudio or the former Cesaro.
Yep.
That'd be a good choice. I think that'd be a really good choice. So needless to say, we'll be looking out for announcements from Bloodsport, which I think should be pretty intriguing for sure. So there's an interview out regarding Baron Corbin and his War Dogs partner, Bron Breakker. And in this interview, he gives a lot of credit to Bron Breakker. Saying that they have really put together an amazing bond and that Bron Breakker has reinvigorated his career, which I think is pretty awesome. Of course, they won the Dusty Cup, then went on to win the tag team titles. And it's safe to say that that's the case. Now, my question to you is, do you think this tag team holds on to the tag titles after Stand and Deliver? And if they don't, I imagine Breaker would probably end up at SmackDown. What does this do for Baron Corbin?
Let's see. I have my reservations on this only because I wasn't expecting the Wolf Dogs to work so well, as I've said in previous weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But since it is, it's what we got. And kudos to Baron Corbin for even being able to revive his career in this way and for being as humble as he is to, you know, acknowledge Bron Breakker's presence in this part of his career as well. But it's so funny because it's like, I think what it is is that I'm not used to this Baron Corbin. I'm used to the scheming Baron Corbin and weaseling his way out of Baron Corbin, you know, like, you know, lone wolf type thing. I think this actually, you know, it shows a different side to Baron Corbin, obviously, being that, you know, he's kind of like growing up before our eyes a little bit and maturing. But I do think eventually this wolf dog thing is going to die down for some reason. I just think that it only worked because it clicked so well at the moment and the crowd just hung on to it. But I think come Stand and Deliver, maybe after that, there's going to be some ruffling of the feathers and there's going to be a little bit of a stir in the pot, as I like to say, at Honey Pot Predictions. And something's going to happen that's going to break up this team. And I feel like it's going to come from Baron Corbin because Baron Corbin doesn't play well with others for too long, even if he did, you know. But that's just me.
Yeah. Said?
So we only know part of the field with the LWO getting their first shot, winning their qualifying match. Honestly, they would be a perfect candidate to like carry the belts for a while we're kind of reestablishing the NXT tag team division. After the Creed Brothers departed, there's not really many dominant tag teams in that division right now. They can definitely use a bump. But we know Breaker is signed to SmackDown. He's already worked on a couple of SmackDown events. Corbin is in a career renaissance. And that's kind of weird to say with how big of a deal Corbin was when he first came up from NXT.
Yeah.
People remember he was one of the like if you look at how Damian Priest was protected as far as not taking any losses. We haven't seen, it wasn't until 2 years ago that somebody had actually kicked out of Corbin's finisher.
Right.
People don't realize like how important of a character he is overall. I just think when it came to how he's booked and how they view him as a superstar, he never just won the big one.
Right.
He never won the big one. He was a Money in the Bank winner, I believe. Had multiple championship opportunities, even the most recent NXT. That's like, I don't know why they don't just give him the chance because he's always a solid hand in the ring, one of the more safer workers that people can work with. On top of that, it's just strange how he's never been kind of given the ball and he's went through all these different characters for somebody to have actual claim to retiring Kurt Angle and nothing really to show for it. We went to the bum ass Corbin angle, which people loved, and like he's had all these different ups and downs. So this is good to see him carry gold for a while. We know it's just short lived, and I personally don't think there'll be dissension. I think there's something to have with allies down the road that you can always tee back up since they'll be on separate shows. Yeah. But hopefully, this is a sign of them viewing Corbin as like a pivotal piece. On NXT or the main roster. Maybe he goes and he's the one to take the belt off Obafemi next up. So there's a lot of things he can still do in the NXT brand.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Yeah.
I don't want to.
Oh my. Well, we alluded to this as we were getting off the air Wednesday, and I wanted to make sure that we spent some time talking about this because we introduced this idea Monday and then it showed up Monday night and we didn't get a chance to dig into it. And that is what happened involving Maxine Dupri on Monday Night Raw. She was involved in a tag team match as she was teaming with Ivy Nile in a great match. Well, it was supposed to be a great match until this situation happened involving Candice LeRae, and the cameras got in as Candice LeRae began to berate Maxine Dupri, talk about why the internet community doesn't like her, how the girls in the back don't like her, referenced her deceased brother, and away we go, as it was just so overwhelming for Maxine that Maxine walked out of the ring. And some people have felt like that went too far, incorporating her brother and incorporating all that happened with the internet community. Some think it's brilliant. I want to get what you guys think about the WWE incorporating all of these real life elements into this moment here that was, I think, so expertly done in such a short period of time in ring. What were your thoughts on this moment?
So when Candace was getting close to Maxine and I start seeing her like just like I saw her face change and I was just like, oh, okay. And I'm hearing what she's saying to her and I'm like, okay. And if I'm not mistaken, I think I did say they should incorporate this in a storyline for Maxine to prove the IWC wrong and show them how wrong they are about her in her growth and where in her progress as a in-ring performer. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever seen a heel turn happen in this kind of way, because I'm gonna go ahead and say that Candace went full on heel on her and just like bashed her and completely bringing up her dead brother, which I don't think that's a real thing, but I would hope.
Oh, it's real.
Oh yeah, my God. It's real. So okay. It's real. So either that or because I thought that might have been like a Trump to like LA Knight. You know what I'm saying?
Oh
like,
no, no,
like,
no.
As far as that,
no.
I wasn't sure.
No.
Wow. Okay. So that, yeah. I mean, hey, for Matt, you know what? If that this is what I like. Make it real. Make it as real as possible, because this is what we want to see. And this is what's going to bring to us and what is going to allow Maxine Dupri to show us some of her best work. And she's probably going to get a thicker skin. And I could personally see her in like a badass kind of form and you know, completely change her persona up. Because I feel like people have caught on to the fact that she's the pretty girl and she doesn't wrestle a lot. And when she does, it's only like flashy things or a funny Otis things or, you know, like a comedic relief. But I think from the very beginning, I think Maxine Dupri is a lot more than that. And I think she has a lot more to offer. So, and even when we talked about when they were booing her, she was leaving that live event, I was like, I was thinking to myself, like, you have to give this girl a chance the same way you've given everybody a chance. You know what I'm saying? Like there was a point in time where everybody in the stadium was rooting for her. And you know, and then all of a sudden it just felt like a complete turn on her. And I didn't understand why, but I feel like it's also because we haven't been able to see what she's truly capable of. And this is definitely going to bring that out. So it was really, I really like this Candace that we're going to get. And I also can see how great this future Maxine is going to be as well. Because if you ask me, this is giving very the way kind of Candace LeRae back. And I really like that. I would really like that back. I really would.
Said.
I'll be the first to say it. Maxine Dupri is going to be Stacy Keibler with graps by the end of this year.
Ooh.
By the end of this year, I'm pulling for Maxine in the bank, and this is a perfect way to get there, to tee it up back to the Poison Pixie, which has been brewing for a while, because Candice LeRae had taken so many damn L's on his main roster.
We
need the Poison Pixie. We need the antithesis to what Johnny Gargano and Ciampa are doing. So hopefully Indy follows suit and they are just a heel pairing for a while, which would be really cool. But I think this would, IWC soft, man. I grew up and watched a Big Boss Man drag a casket at the Big Show's funeral, man.
I remember that.
IWC is soft.
Remember that.
This is just a berating.
That was?
With the Big Show riding on the casket.
Yeah, man. Why do we get so soft? It used to be so much like, as a child seeing that, this is just somebody getting a tongue lashing. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it'll lead to Maxine getting her comeuppance. And hopefully this leads to, like Honey said, her best character work, where we kind of see that glow up and we start seeing some of the things that she's learning at the PEC, learning from Chad Gable. And we see, like, personally, I would love to see her start adopting submission moves in her arsenal. She's been doing the worm and stuff like that. I think that's her key. Maybe like a Rings of Saturn or something like that. Add these type of things to her arsenal to show like, hey, she's learning different things and we're seeing her take off right before our eyes.
Yeah. I'm also noticing like a parallel in the character arc being that Gable's going through what he's going through and Maxine's going through what she's going through as well. So it makes me wonder what's going to happen with Otis and what's next for the Alpha Academy as a whole. And is it going to be a different kind of Alpha Academy that we're going to see, or are they just going to part ways and do their own thing? How is that going to unfold? So that makes me very curious for that as well.
That's a great, great question. Some of the comments here, Jeffrey says, Candace was under the guidance of Christian School of Berating Family Members 101. Well said. MDB says it didn't go far enough. Make her cry harder next time, Candace.
No feeling.
Yeah. Boza says, I think this is going to be a great storyline. I think people wish that right away Cole or Pat told us about Maxine's brother that is deceased. Fans had to research it on their own. It actually makes me wonder if they knew that that was going to come up. I don't think they knew that it was going to come up because they would have said something, which again, I think is a brilliant move, because if they don't know that that's coming up, then you can get that real reaction of, whoa, that was really too far. That was inappropriate, you know, instead of just having that piece of information readily available in your back pocket. So I think that's one of those cases where not being prepared for it made it feel a lot more authentic, you know,
right out the gate.
This is the first real program for Maxine as a wrestler. I think people were uncomfortable for Maxine. I'm sure they will do a better job Monday. Let's see. Poison Pixie went and dipped again for good measure. I think people have a short attention span. I thought Maxine had the great facial reaction when Candace went there. Special Little Nobody says, Candace went full Christian Cage on her and made her instant underdog to root for. She is only going to improve in the ring. This could be a very good story to watch unfold. And I agree. I think having the emotional attachment to it makes you even more invested to see her want to improve her skills. You're going to root for her with everything that she does because you can kind of relate to that. And people are remembering, that the Big Boss Man fed Al Snow his own dog. That actually did happen.
Oh my God.
Jesus. Didn't the Undertaker hang the Big Boss Man from a cage?
Yes,
at a WrestleMania. At a WrestleMania 15, but who's counting? Let's see. I sat through Undertaker kidnapping Stephanie McMahon. That happened too.
Yeah.
Boss Man made some dog BQ. And yes,
Undertaker almost, almost eliminated Stone Cold in a sacrificial ritual.
Yes. There was almost, and then there was that moment. Yes, there was that whole thing. So, yeah, it were wilder times for sure.
We just realized that we kind of gradually getting into an edgier side of PG era. Ain't no more colorful shirts and jorts. Like we going there now.
It's getting real Mr. Fuji Val Venus out here.
Oh yeah. That's crazy.
Y'all know what I'm talking about.
I do. So in this era of dream matches, we got word about this happening today, and this will happen tomorrow. Katsuyori Shibata will be back in AEW, and he'll be taking on Bryan Danielson on a random episode of Collision. Oh, as much as I love this match, why this match isn't happening on a pay-per-view, or at least with some degree of a buildup, is beyond me. Like, And I also don't understand why in preparation for, a match with Will Ospreay, you take on Shibata. Are you kidding me? So what do I know? Anyway, this is going to be a great match to watch tomorrow night. If you guys are checking it out on Collision, I think this should be something pretty special. We also found out last night, moving into TNA, and we knew it wouldn't take long, Nick Nemeth will be getting a shot at the TNA World Championship as part of TNA's next big PLE, TNA Rebellion, which happens on Saturday, April the 20th. It'll happen. They're back in Vegas at the Palms, the same place where Moose won the title and Nick Nemeth debuted for TNA. So let's ask the question, does Nick Nemeth walk away as a TNA world champion?
I think he might. I think he could. Only because he's on fire right now. And there's endless limits for this guy to keep on reigning as a champion. I mean, he's already got one. Why not get another? Moose is a tough competitor. I haven't watched a lot of Moose recently, but I have seen Moose before, and he's just not some Joe Schmo. So it's not gonna be an easy match for Nick Nemeth, but I think this is going to be a pretty good one between these two. It's going to be a great performance, and you know Nick Nemeth being the show off that he is, he's going to give it all he got. Mm-hmm. So I think it's possible.
Sed, what do you think?
Pay attention to the stars aligning. Pay attention. Mm-hmm. New Japan champion, new mm-hmm. co-host of Busted Open Radio, mm-hmm. could be TNA champion by this time in another month, just so they can have more eyes on Nick Nemeth on this run that he's on. It just mm-hmm. makes sense.
Yeah.
It literally just makes sense. It'll draw more viewership into the airwaves. And if it's making money that way, it'll make a lot more money for TNA. Mm-hmm.
Can I ask you guys, how long has Moose been the world champion on TNA?
He won it back in at Hard to Kill. In January. So at this point, it's been about 2 months that he's been world champion. Same day that Nick Nemeth debuted for TNA.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think to me, this is a no-brainer. I think the bigger question was, when Nick Nemeth debuted, how long would it be before he became the world champion?
Right.
And so I think what they did was they waited for their next major pay-per-view. Rebellion is one of their big four. And I think he gets crowned the world champion there. I don't think this is a no-brainer to me. It's a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. Nick Nemeth is their biggest male star. Obviously, he's still cooking very strong from his WWE run. He just won the global championship over in New Japan. As you mentioned, he is the new host of Busted Open. And again, he's got enough things going on for him outside of the company that make him a bigger draw, you know?
Bingo.
Draw. And so I think they think like that. You know, let's be honest. If Moose shows up, if a late night talk show or ESPN has the opportunity to get a world champion that is not in the WWE, are they going to go with Moose or are they going to go with Nick Nemeth? It's a no-brainer. So
Nick can be carrying two belts into one of his stand-ups, and now you got other talking points just about that.
Absolutely.
He's going to carry two belts to Bust It Open.
That too. So congratulations. Again, this will headline the TNA Pay-Per-View Rebellion, which again returns to the Palms Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, April the 20th. Should be an absolutely incredible time. Of course, we've got to get through WrestleMania season, which I think is going to be crazy. And speaking of that, before we head out of here, three things. One, The Rock will be back on SmackDown tonight, live from Memphis. Of course, you'll be able to do a live watch along right here with Wrestling with Honey. I want to get your thoughts. Rock had a huge promo again today on the socials. What do you think Rock does tonight? It's his first time getting to respond after that big slap from Cody last week. What happens tonight with The Rock?
I said this in my Honey Pop predictions. I'm kind of praying for a Rock concert.
Oh,
I'm kind of praying for a Rock concert in Memphis, in Music City. I feel like it's possible he could bring it out, bring out his little guitar, start, doing a little riff, giving us that old Hollywood rock, but, massive fire-ish talking rock mixed with it now, mm-hmm. The final boss, as he has self-proclaimed as of today.
Yeah.
I'm just excited because I love whenever a mic is in that man's hand, I'm just happy to listen. So I did say I'm praying for a Rock concert. I feel like we haven't gotten any musical melodies from Dwayne just yet. And we could get a good one with Cody and Seth. There's a lot he talked about with his mom and the goofy dog and, you know, the crybaby thing. It's just, you know. And did you see what he said about the belt that he's going to
Oh, yes.
His mom?
Oh, yes.
I was like, yo, he's going there. He's going there. And I love it. So, but yeah, I'm praying for a rock concert tonight in Memphis.
Okay. Sed?
I'm into the little intricacies that we find every single week that we talk about for like the next like 3 or 4 days. So everybody's been talking about the finger and the thumb and what that means. I think we see two things tonight. I think Heyman goes and does his little spiel. And I think The Rock says nothing, but says a lot at all by handing his hand out, asking for the microphone from Heyman like Roman does. And that might put Roman in a precarious position. Because when Heyman actually hands him the mic. So I'm looking for something like that. And also, when we talk about the physical aspect of things, he was throwing around that final boss title a lot today and that wrestling is cool again. And he's the biggest heel in the sport. Mm-hmm. I think The Rock gives a direct order to Solo tonight. I think that he actually gives direct order to Solo and Solo follows it, which gives us another layer of what's going on within the bloodline. And like Roman being the tribal chief.
I also can't help but think that Uncle Hunter is going to appear again either, because we haven't seen him appear since the very first time that he came to SmackDown and said that I'm the final say. And he's been really quiet. He hasn't showed up. And he's calling himself the final boss. And he's also calling himself the greatest heel, when we know that probably one of the greatest heels is Hunter Hearst Helmsley, and he is literally the boss and another boss. So I where you at, Uncle Hunter? I'm just wondering.
This ought to get real interesting tonight. Again, SmackDown happening tonight at the top of the hour. We're about less than 40 or close to 40 minutes away. So it should be amazing. Before we go, we want to say a big thank you to everybody. Women's Wrestling Talk has hit 15,000 subscribers on YouTube. So thank you all for subscribing. If you have not subscribed to our YouTube channel, be sure to do that. Some great things are happening. You can do that right now while you are watching and listening to us. But again, shout out to all of you for checking out all the great content that we have there. It means an awful lot. So we absolutely appreciate you guys for joining us and supporting us in the ways that you are. This is absolutely amazing. Also, one thing you can be on the lookout for, we've got a brand new interview that just hit today with Tiffany Nieves. She is a great wrestler who has been working in a number of places, OVW, Mission Pro, and the like. So a great interview with her is available right now on our website. So make sure you guys check that out. And it might even be on YouTube as well. Don't quote me on that. You can feel free to go and look and subscribe and find out for sure. All right. Here's how you can get a hold of us on these good social spaces. Sed, are you stuck or are you?
Oh, no. I'm just looking at something outside.
Oh, okay. I got nervous. I was like, is he okay?
I was like, he cricked his neck real quick. Like,
I'm in a parking lot about to visit some family. I literally just watched a cat come from like all the way on the other side, walk past my car, seemingly to do his business in like this flower bed right here. I was entertained.
Cats. I can't even say what I want to say about cats.
I have a feeling we're not in Parkerville or Rice City anymore.
No.
I think MD said, hopefully I don't go to Petrovitz County. I probably won't. That sounds like a sundown town, if we're being honest. We'll stay in the tropical areas, if you will.
I get it. Sed, how can the people reach you? Oh boy.
You can find me on the Twitter app. We still call it Twitter around here at Sed Says, a CEDD_SAYS on the gram when I use that thing. And do people still use Threads? Sed is the answer over there. Find me here on this network. I also write for DailyDDT.com. hopefully we'll be getting some more Mania content as the weeks go by. NXT content, as always. If it doesn't come, don't blame me. Blame my tag partner, Jacob DeLawrence. And also, the boss lady's not here. Send her lots of, you want to call it fan mail, hate mail, directly from your EST. Just send TK some messages.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm. Oh, boy. Honey, how could the people find you?
You can find me here Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays with WWT. You can also find me on Instagram, Wrestling with Honey, TikTok, Wrestling with Honey. YouTube will be up and running soon. Wrestling with Honey podcast, like and subscribe the page. And Facebook, Wrestling W Honey. And also, don't forget my Honey Pop predictions. Mine was a little late, so I had to do like the lightning round today. Last minute Honey Pop predictions. Fastest Honey Pop predictions ever today, I might add. Mondays and Fridays prior to Raw and SmackDown. And come see me at 8. Hang out with me. Let's watch along SmackDown and let's get into some wrestling shenanigans.
Absolutely. Of course, you can find me at Bonnerfied across all of the social spaces. You can check out my commentary work with Southern Honor Wrestling and IWE right now on IWTV. We just had a big show from Southern Honor premiere this past Monday. So, yeah, go check that out. I've got another show with IWE that should be showing up on IWTV very, very soon. You can check out my commentary work with All Caribbean Wrestling. Several matches from our big event in February are now on that YouTube page. So you can check it out, including one of the main event matches that involved Lince Dorado against Chris Bay. Yeah, you need to go check that out. It's on the All Caribbean YouTube page. I'm doing commentary on that and several other matches there as well. Also, I'll be working with the Nightmare Factory again this Tuesday for their next student showcase, which I'm pretty excited about. And we'll let you know once that hits their YouTube page as well. You can also check out AsheWrestling.com, where I am doing a number of things with Ashe, and I'm excited. You can check out my in-ring moments with Ron Simmons, my introduction of Teddy Long, and several other things. So check that out at AsheWrestling.com. And of course, you can check me out here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday as part of WWT Live. Speaking of women's wrestling talk, make sure you are following us at WW Talk Pod across all the socials. Make sure you hit up TK Trinidad at TK Trinidad. And when you're doing that, our little secret, if you want to get in good with her, send her pictures, send her memes, send her GIFs, all connected to Trick Williams. Do that. Do that. She will
do all that.
You forever.
Do all of that.
Just send her all sorts of Trick Williams pictures, Trick Williams videos, Trick Williams.
We'll get you guys. We'll get you a P.O. box for gifts and stuff like that, too.
I'm just telling you. Just flood her with it. Don't even tell her why. Just we miss you, and this is how we show you we miss you.
Whoop
with nothing. There it is. Just send her with Booker going, oh, yeah, man. Send all that stuff to her. She'll absolutely love it. I promise you. She will love. Yes. Yes. Jeffrey, you said it right there. Trick Williams on the beach. All the things. Send that.
Send her. Send her that shucky ducky quack quack.
Send it all. Send it all. She will love every bit of that. Of course, check out all the interviews, all the cool content that's coming as courtesy of Women's History Month. All sorts of great things that are happening here. Shout out you guys again in record numbers today, and we appreciate you guys. So Jeffrey, MDB, Boza, special little nobodies, Matt, Cindio, Cousin Ron, Eric. Let's see who else. I know I'm missing somebody. I'm missing a lot of people, so forgive me, Jeffrey. And if I did not mention your name, because there were far more of you just kind of sitting back watching in the various places that you're watching, we appreciate you guys. You guys are awesome. Thank you for your continued support of what we do. Now, again, we do this Monday, Wednesday, Friday, but if you want to have some fun when it pertains to SmackDown, stick around as Honey's got her big SmackDown watch-along happening right here on this channel at the top of the hour. Until next time, this has been WWT Live as part of Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling show on the planet.
Thanks for joining WWT. Don't forget to like us on all social media platforms at WW Talk Pod. Like and subscribe on all video and audio platforms like yesterday, my G. and check out our website at www.talkpaw.com. Thanks for watching Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.